Welcome to Vladimir Savchuk's podcast. Our ministry exists to reach people globally and to disciple them digitally. If you have not done so, would you help me to bring a greater exposure to the biblical teaching by leaving a review on this podcast and share it also on your social media platform? Let's dive into this episode. Why do Christians worship on Sunday? First of all, we must understand that God separated light from darkness on the first day, which was actually Sunday. Genesis 1:5, it says, God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. We gather to celebrate on Sundays the light of Jesus Christ, who has separated us from darkness. The second thing I want to highlight is that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And we know that the first day of the week was Sunday. In Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it says, Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. The third reason is the Holy Spirit was poured out on Sunday, on the day of Pentecost. And if we will do the math, according to the tradition of that day and how they practiced the Passover, it falls on Sunday. Number four is Sunday in the New Testament is called the Lord's Day. Now, every day is the Lord's Day, but specifically when it's talking about the Lord's Day, it's referring to Sunday. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like of a trumpet. So it's good on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, to begin to be in the Spirit and to hear the voice of God, to have encounters with God, to gather with other believers. The fifth reason we gather on Sunday is believers came together to worship and fellowship on Sunday. In book of Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says that now on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, when the disciples came together to break bread, so that's when the church would gather to break bread, to take care of the communion, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So Paul was long-winded preacher. One guy actually died because Paul preached so long, but thankfully Paul raised him from the dead. Number sixth reason why we celebrate the Lord and we gather on Sundays is Paul urged believers to prepare their offerings for Sunday or on Sunday. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, we see that he says that on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. So this is referring to the gathering of the believers on the first day of the week, and they would gather some resources and finances, store them, and when Paul would come, it would be one large offering that would go toward the ministry of either Paul or the poor believers and other causes. The church fathers, one of them being a direct disciple of John the Apostle, he actually said this concerning Christians celebrating the Lord and concerning the Sabbath. He said, those who followed ancient customs, the Jews, have come to a new hope, no longer celebrating the Sabbath, but observing the Lord's Day, the day on which our life sprung up through Christ. Another church father, Justin Martyr, a Gentile who was born near Jacob's well in 110 AD, he said this, he says, and on the day called Sunday, all who live in the cities or in the country gather together to one place, and the writings of the apostles and the prophets are read. But Sunday is the day on which we hold our common assembly, because it's the first day on which God, having brought a change out of darkness and matter, made the world, and Jesus Christ, our Savior, has risen from the dead. Another church father in 178 AD, he was arguing that Jewish Sabbaths were signs and types and were not supposed to be kept as a reality because the shadows already came true. He said the following, the mystery of the Lord's resurrection may not be celebrated on any other day than the Lord's Day. And on this alone should we observe the breaking of the communion. And the Pentecost fell on the first day of the week, and therefore it was associated with the Lord's Day. Another church father in 174 AD said the following, is the old seventh day has become nothing more than a working day. So the Sunday did not replace Saturday. We still have Saturday And Sunday is not a replacement of that. But you have to understand, for the believers at the time, Sunday was like our Monday. It was the day that everybody had to return to work after having a day off. So the early church would have to gather for worship either early in the morning or late at night. So for years, Christians gathered on the first day of the week because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit fell on that day. And so that was kind of like the Lord's day. And then it was until later that Emperor Constantine, he instituted Sunday as the official day of rest in 321 AD. But for early church, Sunday was devoted primarily to worship, not to rest. Now, I think it's both. It's both rest and it's a time of worship, Sabbath unto the Lord. It's not a Saturday though. Sunday is different than Saturday. So it didn't replace Saturday, but it just became something where we as Christians honor God in that day. And you can watch my other video where I go into, should we observe Sabbath or should we observe it as the law? I go through those things in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, and practically what should we do with the Sabbath? So I will not go through that in this video because there's another one for that. Now, what did Christians do during their gathering? What did they do on the Lord's Day? So there's a few things they did. Number one is they actually gathered. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, it says, first of all, when you come together as a church. So Paul is saying to Corinthians, he says, I hear there's some divisions among you, and in part I believe. Have you noticed when you come together? So this was not like every person watching live stream. This was not every person to himself and just talking to God when you come together. Later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, Paul says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak in tongues, there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, and they might say that you're out of your mind. In other words, I want to emphasize, believers got together. So on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday, believers got together. And that's what we should do. For those of you who do not go to a church, and you are able to go to a church, like scripturally speaking, even though it's not a commandment, but you're part of the body and you have to gather. You have to come together and the government shouldn't stop you from that. Fear of COVID shouldn't stop you from that. We're not saying not to exercise wisdom and discretion, but a lot of people have stayed too long at home. A lot of people have stayed too long from gathering. We are a church, we are a body, and we have to gather. So on the Lord's Day, not only they gathered, number two is they worship. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. So pretty much, Paul is saying that we have to come together and sing. We come together and worship. We come together and praise God. And that's what we do on Sundays. That's what we do during our church time. The third thing that we do when we come together is pray. That's why Paul corrected the prayer in tongues. And he was saying, when you come together, you know, like, don't just out loud speak in tongues and other people don't know what you're saying. He's saying that I want you to pray to God, you know, in tongues, like privately. But then if you're speaking like in the microphone or speaking out loud in front of other believers, make sure that your prayer is something that brings edification to other people. Number four is preaching. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word. So he's speaking to a young preacher, and where's Timothy going to preach that? To the church. When the church would gather together, we preach the word. And the fifth thing that the early church did when they would gather together is they would practice ordinances. So for us as Christians, we have these two things that the Lord has given for us to do, and that is the water baptism and the taking of Holy Communion. And so when we gather together, actually believers would gather together and break bread. That's when they would celebrate communion. And then believers would also get baptized. So as we come together, we have an opportunity to take communion and we have the opportunity as well as to get water baptized. And the fifth final thing that we can do when we come together is actually serve or give. Because Paul is saying that when you come together on the first day of the week, you know, bring your gifts or bring your things to the Lord that you want to give financially as the Lord prospers you, meaning proportional to your prosperity. And so we're not just coming to worship. We're not just coming to hear the word. We're not just coming to be with other believers. We're not just coming to celebrate the Lord's Supper and water baptism. We're also coming to express our thanksgiving, generosity, and trust in God. Now, let me speak to you frankly. We have a generation today that has fallen out of habit of coming to church. In fact, we are warned in Hebrews not to forsake assembling of ourselves together. I understand we are going through, and maybe by the time of this video, perhaps the COVID has already ran its course. Most likely, it probably won't. The world is only going to get crazier, but we as Christians should not forsake our assembling together. Now, you may say, well, Vlad, you know, the government says we can't gather together because it's not safe. But come on, can we be honest? It's still safe to go to a movie theater. It's still safe to go hiking. It's still safe to go to a grocery store. It's still safe to protest. So if it's safe to do all of these things and the government's completely fine, then it is safe to meet together as believers. You have to prioritize your spiritual growth by being in the assembly. As a Christian, you are an organ in the body. You are not an organ in the bank, meaning you belong in the body. You don't belong in some kind of a secluded island. I grew up, my family came from a place in former Soviet Union where you couldn't gather together. And the government had a reason why Christians should not be gathering together. They would crack down upon church houses and gatherings of believers, and they would put them in jail for that. And guess what believers did? They didn't blindly obey the government. Believers still gathered together. Because like Peter and John told the Pharisees, they said, we must obey God. When what man says and what God says contradict, we obey God. I'm all for online experience. I'm all for online church. I'm all for that. But if you have the opportunity in your area to go to a local church and you choose not to out of laziness, out of, oh, it's a family day, I'm just going to prioritize time with my wife and everything. If you make your family an idol, your idol will disappoint you. Your family should serve God, not you serving your family. You should serve God with your family. Bring your children to church. Take your spouse to church. Men, husbands, be a priest in your house. Worship God on the Lord's Day. Gather together with believers. You may say, do I have to? No, you get to do that. You will spiritually grow. You will be able to fight loneliness, temptations. God can encounter you. The Spirit of God can fall on the day of Pentecost. God will begin to separate your light and darkness through the preaching of God's word. God's presence will begin to come upon you as you worship together with other believers. Now, does that replace your personal private devotions? Of course not, but it supplements. And it's very important that we as Christians begin to prioritize our gathering together. Maybe you don't find a good, perfect church and you say, Vlad, the reason why I don't go to church is because all the churches are full of hypocrites. Well, there's room for one more. All of us are hypocrites on our worst day. Well, Walmart has hypocrites. You still go to Walmart. Maybe you're going to saying that, you know, the reason why I don't go to a church is because I get nothing out of it. Well, perhaps you have outgrown being a baby who comes and receives, and you need to actually sign up and take the next step and start serving. I don't go on Sunday morning to church to be fed. I go on Sunday morning to serve. Now, do I receive? Yes. But the way I receive now is by serving, not by somebody serving me. I get replenished, renewed, revived, re-energized every weekend because of serving, not because somebody serves me. So maybe you've outgrown that baby stage and now you're complaining why you are not getting anything. Your pastor's sermons are boring. You know, like there's no depth in there. But maybe you simply have overstayed your baby or your selfish stage. And you need to, I know this is a strong word, but you need to start serving. You need to start participating. Stop critiquing, stop criticizing, and honestly, start serving. Sign up for kids ministry. Sign up for usher, sign up to help with the media department and serve. That's the day where we come and we serve. Maybe some of you don't get anything out of your church. Can I just be very honest? And don't log off right now. Can I just be very honest? Because you stopped giving. You can't get anything out if your heart is not in it. The Bible says where your treasure is, there is your heart. When you don't give to your local church, don't complain if you're getting anything out because there's somebody else who's probably getting something out of it. Why? Because they're invested. If you're just a spectator, not a participator and you're not an investor in what God is doing at the local church, my friend, you have no right to complain. Start serving, start giving, start praying for your church, come earlier, participate in what God is doing on this earth, and He does that through a local church. God is pro-church. It's His bride, it's His building, and it's what God is doing on this earth today. Thank you for watching this video. I know that it got maybe a little bit strong at the end, but I believe that your heart is open and you will receive that. Drop that in the comments below. If you go to a church, what church do you go to? Drop the name of your church and the name of your pastor. We would love to create a discussion below this video. Hey, help me with this video. Click thumbs up for this. And if you're first time on this channel, well, welcome. Click on the bell so you can be reminded each time that we upload new content. God bless you. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you were encouraged, challenged, and also blessed. As always, don't forget to subscribe as well as to leave a review so that it could help us to reach other people. And share this episode with your friends and your family on social media. If God puts on your heart to support this ministry, your support will help us to reach more people for Jesus. Go to my website and you can find out so much more free resources, from reading plans, blogs, e-courses, and so much. And all of my stuff is free of charge. God bless you. Until next time.